Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Welcome back to another episode of the week review, should I say, not the weekend, because we're reviewing the week. This is the show which looks at everything from the past week, which we should talk about the results, the games ahead, all of that good stuff. I'm joined by Sergio. Sergio, how have you been? How are you doing?
Doing very well. It's a good day today. How are you doing?
Not too bad myself. Good day. Good weekend, as we will talk about later this episode, I'm sure. There were a few things I wanted to talk to you about this week, starting off with the game, which was exciting, a good game for Liverpool. It was the Tottenham Hotspur versus Liverpool game. What were your thoughts on the game? Did you watch it or did you watch the highlights, etc.?
So I watched the first half and I watched the highlights. And I personally expected more from Tottenham. Obviously, I know Harry Kane got injured in the first half, if I'm not wrong. But it was just kind of like, obviously, Liverpool hadn't scored in six league games. And then they just came against Tottenham, which obviously a very strong side. And then they just scored three, which was kind of weird. And I mean, after Tottenham also performing rather well this season, not the best, but they're doing decent. I just didn't think Liverpool would win. And it just left me kind of surprised, especially with Firmino scoring. Firmino doesn't score very often. Mm-hmm. But what about you? What did you think of that game?
I mean, we were both wrong in our predictions, but I'll get into that later. I thought it was a good game. It was exciting. It had a lot of things going on. Just a good performance from Liverpool. Obviously, hadn't scored in, four games or something along those lines before facing Tottenham. And obviously, mm-hmm. before that, lost to Burnley. So it was very, very interesting to see how they would go ahead and play. And they obviously won. Tottenham were unlucky to lose their striker. And then again, just shows that Spurs without Kane, especially this weekend again, just aren't the same team. Just too reliant on Harry Kane, which ultimately is going to cost them top four. Hey, that's what I'm saying. They're going to miss out on top four. Do you agree? Do you think the Spurs will miss out on top four?
That's a bold statement, but I'm looking at the league right now. They dropped points that game. If they had won, well, the game that... No, that, because obviously Tottenham lost against Liverpool, and then the next fixture, I don't know if we'll get onto that later, but I'll just mention now, they lost against Brighton. So that's two lost games that they could have won, especially if Brighton won. So if they're just dropping still the points, I don't think they'll make it top four either.
I mean, if you're looking at the current table, I think the top four is mostly going to be Man City, Man United, Liverpool, and then I would go and say Everton, because they've got two games in hand. If they win both, they're on 39 points, which is the same as Leicester. So one of the two, Leicester or...
So you're not thinking Leicester's going to be able to keep the top spots?
No, maybe. But last year, obviously, they lost out on top four, I think on the last day. So, yeah, they like to slip up from time to time. But, I mean, to be fair to them, they're doing very well. Brendan Rodgers is a very good coach. So, maybe it's Leicester. But Everton have been good as well. Moving on to probably, the most boring game. Again, Manchester United, like last week, I think, or no, the week before that, just a 0-0 against Arsenal. What were your thoughts?
Just boring. Like, that's what I'm going to really say.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
It was just such a bad game. Like, nothing really happened that game. It was just going back and forth and just nothing. I watched the highlights for it. And it was just, there was no clear chances, if I'm not wrong. Mm-hmm. Maybe there was a few for Man United, but Oh, no, it was just like useless. It was just sharing points again. It's the same game as with Liverpool. And Willian assigned for Arsenal. Absolutely a waste of money, waste of time. Obviously, he's a great player, but he's not doing anything at Arsenal. And yeah, they did. Odegaard did get his debut, though, which was good to see.
It was interesting to see how he would get on. Obviously, I think he didn't come on till the second half, so he didn't have much time. But again, a very exciting transfer that has been in this very boring January transfer window, if I may say so. Again, just pull from two, I wouldn't say informed sides, but two good sides. Obviously, Man United have dropped off. Their form was very good going into January, and has died down and lost to Sheffield United even, and same for Arsenal. They were in good form after beating Chelsea, obviously. And then, again, not very convincing in that game either. And then, yeah, just a 0-0, just disappointing. I think two teams with good attacking forwards. And I would say Arsenal have a pretty poor defence with Gabriel, not Gabriel, but Luiz and all the other lot. At the back, not very convincing for me, but yeah, just boring.
I'm just wondering, we didn't cover the games from before that, because obviously we had the Chelsea special this Friday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did.
So we didn't actually cover the other results, though. Coppa Italia, the Milan derby, we didn't cover that.
We didn't. Good, well done. What are your thoughts on the Milan derby?
It was a good derby. Like, that's what we love to see in football. I mean, Zlatan goal, Zlatan yellow card, Zlatan red card. Lukaku scores, did you see his run-up? It's just pure anger in his run-up. And then Eriksen with a great free kick in the 90-plus-7th minute. It was just good to see.
I mean, it should have been, had everything. It was the rivalry between Milan and Inter. It was the rivalry between the strikers, Lukaku and Ibrahimovic, and had everything. They even squared up, I think, twice or so. And Zlatan called Lukaku a donkey, according to numerous outlets. And then he got a red card, second yellow, after a poor slide tackle. I can't remember who it was, but then he got sent off. AC Milan's main man. So that was, I would say, a huge error on his part. I think it was a bit unprofessional. It's a big game. You've got to be a big leader. And I think
especially
overall,
with this age as well.
Yeah, and overall, I think he just screwed the AC. He lost the game for AC Milan, in my opinion, because with this, the player he is, and with the experience he has to do that in a big, big game is not good at all.
I'd also like to talk about a few other games before that led up to the United Arsenal game, the boring game. Arsenal actually beat Southampton 3-1 after you predicted that Southampton would win again. But after going up in the third minute, Pepe and Saka scored, and then, like I said, sealed it off in the 72nd minute. So Arsenal were coming off a win, and Manchester United were coming off a loss, if I'm not wrong.
Yeah,
against Sheffield United.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, you know, very strange, because obviously Sheffield United lost in the bottom of the league. Haven't really won many games, but the two games they've won, two of the games they've won have been against Manchester United, who are now second in the league. So, I mean, I don't know what's going on there, because that makes no sense. Also, in Manchester, we had the Manchester City West Brom. I don't really want to talk about this game, it's just 5-0. Just like to point out that Gundogan, the German centre mid, he got two goals. What are your thoughts on Gundogan?
He's very underrated, in my opinion. He's just so good for this current Manchester City side. Again, I think it was against Chelsea where he got a goal where he turned the defender and scored from the edge of the 16-yard box. So again, yeah, just a very, very good player. I don't have his numbers or anything, but very underrated, very underrated. What about you?
I think he's class. I think he's like some of those like centre mids that no one really talks about, like Henderson used to be. But once they start talking about him, he becomes kind of overrated because people talk too much about him. I don't know if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah. No, 100%. But yeah, Gundogan, I don't know. It's maybe a bit similar to Wijnaldum. They're both very good. Both play at the very top level of football, but don't really score that many goals, but they score a good amount of goals here and there. Just overlooked, I think, by many people. It's not your number 10 who shines like Bruno or KDB, or he's not your Kante or Wilfred Ndidi or Henderson who tackles all the time. It's just a very good all-around playmaker, midfielder. So yeah, I think he's very underrated.
Mm-hmm. Also, I'd like to just mention a few more games, if that's okay, obviously.
Yeah.
But Tuchel, do you want to say it?
Tuchel.
Yeah, he had his managerial debut against Wolves, 0-0. Chelsea dominated the game. Wolves obviously missing their main striker, even though William Jose did have his debut. Nothing really happened in that game. Also, we were just talking about Everton and Leicester. They drew 1-1 with the goal from Rodriguez and Tielemans. I think Tielemans is another very underrated player, another very underrated midfielder, like Gundogan. And I think that's it from early last week. Actually, no, one more. Our predictions for the Atalanta-Lazio game. I don't think they were correct.
No, I think I predicted 3-1 for Atalanta, which turned to be 3-1 for Lazio.
No, it's a 3-2 for Lazio. 3-2 for Atalanta, sorry.
What did you say?
It was a 3-2 win for Atalanta.
No, Atalanta lost, didn't they?
No, they won 3-2.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, they played twice this week. My bad. They played yesterday. That's what I was thinking. Atlanta won the first game. Yeah, that's correct.
That's a very good game. Red card, penalty missed, full of action. And then Lazio pulled it back yesterday.
Yeah, 3-1, like I just mentioned.
3-1.
Getting it mixed up in my head. But yeah, they played very well. From that game, I just want to pick out one or two players. I think Milinkovic-Savic was very good for Lazio that game. I think he got two assists, if I'm not mistaken, or at least one. And I think Luis Alberto is also a very, very talented midfielder, very underrated in my opinion. Again, he's just been very solid for Lazio, and because maybe he doesn't play for Juve or Inter, he's a bit overlooked.
Mm-hmm. Also, again, that we didn't actually mention, that's actually had a big impact, was the Olympique Lyonnais against Bordeaux game. Lyon won 2-1, scoring 90 plus 2 minutes, another very good game. And on Sunday, PSG played Lorient, and if PSG won, they'd go top of the league. But what happened in that game, Jörg?
They lost 3-2.
They lost
to Lorient, which was a big shock. Away from home, Pochettino, you know it. They should have won, probably. I didn't watch the game. But yeah, makes it very interesting in Ligue 1 at the moment.
Let me check
your usual Lorient season.
They lost against 18th place.
Yeah, 3-2. Conceding 3 to Lorient is a big problem, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So then...
Moving on, I got some more games to bring up that we didn't actually talk about. We didn't actually mention in our predictions. The Bayern Munich-Hoffenheim game.
Yeah.
4-1 win. Lewandowski scored again. And then the Dortmund game. 3-1 against Augsburg, where Haaland actually missed a penalty.
Yeah,
did you see it? Haaland, he smacked it off the crossbar.
And Haaland isn't the ball very good with
rebounded. No, but he just smacked across the middle, hit the crossbar, and then from the crossbar, the ball bounced outside the box over everyone's head.
Really? Mad.
Yeah, it was a powerful penalty.
Well, that's why you have to be calm and collected when taking penalties, so.
Like Luis Suarez, eh? But
yeah, we'll get onto that later. I think also we didn't mention was Real Levante.
And that's what I was going to mention.
Levante, Levante winning and missing a penalty. So, yeah, good stuff.
I watched a bit of the game. I just want to talk about it. Militao's red card. I think it is a red card because he's the last man. It was 1-on-1 and he took the player out. It could be debated that it's not a red card. But obviously, I'm a bit biased. Asensio's goal came from a clean penalty from Levante, which I think that was a penalty. But then Levante's penalty that they got in the 64th minute, I think that was outside the box, even though they did end up missing. But fair play to Levante. You know, they actually dominated the game away. Obviously, Real Madrid had won this player. But they deserved it, in my opinion.
I mean, if you look at the current La Liga standings, Atletico are 10 points clear now from number second Barcelona, and 10 points clear of Real Madrid because Barcelona and Real Madrid are on the same amount of points. But I mean, there was
before
talks
we
about
move on to that, before we move on to that, I don't know if you remember, but I don't know if it was in the first episode or in the deleted episode, we mentioned the Copa de Libertadores.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's a great derby with Palmeiras beating Santos 1-0 in the 90 plus 9 minute.
Yeah. ridiculous. If only there were fans in the stadium, that would have made it just complete scenes in
maybe a bit violent as well, but we'd love to see some of that.
Yeah, I mean, it was a boring game, probably. I didn't watch anything of it, but
yeah, me neither.
But to then win in the 90 plus 9 minute is just scenes. I mean, it's probably a lot of things going on in the game due to the plus 9 minutes, but yeah. Very, very good win for Palmeiras. And I've actually saw a stat the other day which there hasn't been a club since, I think, 2002, which has won the Copa Libertadores twice, two times, one after another.
In a row?
Yeah, in a row. That's the word. In a row. So that's an interesting competition, because especially if you look at, like, since 2002 in the Champions League, there wasn't any club either, apart from then eventually Real Madrid winning it back-to-back. So, yeah. Mm. Very good.
Maybe Bayern could it this year. Very strong squad. Actually, did you watch the Inter game against Benevento?
Mm.
Or did you watch the highlights?
No, not that one, I don't think. It's too many games.
See, Lukaku came back after his beef with Ibra, scored 2 goals, sealed the win.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he stopped scoring the Serie A.
I think he is now.
If you check that. Can you talk about something else?
No, Cristiano Ronaldo is still top goal scorer with 15 goals. Lukaku, 14. Chiro Immobile, 13. Zlatan, 12. And Luis Muriel up there with 11. So,
decent.
Yeah, I quickly want to just come back onto the La Liga standings with Atletico as the top. Look like they're walking away with it, especially when they've got 1 game in hand. So that could go up to 13 points if they win. Would you say that, because at the start of the season, there was talks about Ronald Koeman being poor, etc., and this and that. But now if you look at Zidane, is it time for Real Madrid?
Zidane's for COVID.
To pull the plug?
Yeah, but Zidane hasn't been in the last 2 games for Real Madrid.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because he had COVID, so he sat at home. He's the second manager that's on right now.
Okay, but then again, if you look at the transfers they're trying to make, the contracts extensions they're trying to make, it looks all a bit, I don't know, it doesn't look like they're moving forward. Instead, they're moving backwards with the signing of Alaba. I don't think could be a good one. But again, if Ramos departs this summer.
Ramos will be departing, I'm pretty sure.
So yeah, then again, because Alaba isn't the strongest defender. He's very good on the ball, but defensively, isn't that, well, he's obviously outstanding, but he isn't as good as the likes of Ramos, Van Dijk, Upamecano, and all of them. He's just very good on the ball. And then obviously I thought with contract talks with Modric, if I'm not mistaken, who's already 35. So then again, what, they're going to line up with the same midfield, Casemiro, Kroos and Modric, which I can't see being good for Real Madrid, but nor could it be good for La Liga, because, yeah, if you look at the title race there, it's like Atletico just running away with it. It's like, don't even bother.
I mean, I'm not complaining.
No, I'm not complaining. But as a neutral fan, some people are like, well, this isn't quite good for the Spanish league. Because obviously I think what Atletico have done well this season and is their recruiting has been very good compared to the likes of Barcelona and Real Madrid. I think if you look at the spendings, if you have these three top signings last season, it was Griezmann, Hazard and Joao Felix. And you can clearly see now, it's obviously easy to talk about, but you could clearly see the direction which Atletico wanted to take. And you saw what the signings of Barcelona and Real Madrid were. They were to win the league in that season. They weren't really thinking about the future, if that makes sense, because Hazard was obviously good, but in the last two seasons now, he's been either injured, overweight, or has something else, which therefore he can't play. And Griezmann has coming back, but he hasn't hit the same numbers as he did for Atletico. So again, you could argue that maybe Atletico can, in the future, just go and win the La Liga again next season. But that will be for another episode.
Before we actually talk about the Atletico game and a few other more interesting games up on the week, you mentioned Upamecano, which actually brought me to think about the Leipzig game.
Mm-hmm.
It was a 1-0 win against Bayer Leverkusen, which you've actually correctly guessed.
Yes.
In his prediction. So that was impressive. But did you watch the game or the highlights? Because I didn't.
No, I didn't watch the game, nor did I watch the highlights. But
we got the score. You got it right.
You know, I don't even need to look at the games or follow the team. I just know the score. I'm a wizard like that. No, I'm joking. But, you know, in all fairness, I think Upamecano, another clean sheet for Leipzig. And, Bayer Leverkusen were looking like the team to challenge Dortmund and Bayern, well, mainly Bayern, because Dortmund are still in, I think, fifth or fourth place now. But, you know, Leverkusen had a really good start to the season, but are dropping down now after losing to, I think it was Leipzig, and then last weekend as well.
I just had an idea that I think would be good.
Go on.
We should have a competition until the end of the season. The person that gets most correct scores, correct like score, like who wins and the score, the one that has most correct, like most matches correct predictions, gets to ask for anything, or like the other person has to buy something for them.
Yeah,
tally it up, and then pretty good.
Okay, well,
I start from this week, though.
I think if you get the correct score, you get 2 points. If you get just the win, you get 1 point, or the draw, or the loss, whatever you predicted, you get 1 point. And if you just get it wrong, you get 0 points. How's that sound? So then,
are you saying 2 points for score or 3 points?
Two. Because otherwise, make it free. Make it like football. If you win, you get three. If you get the score correct, if you get just the win or the draws, Whatever correct, you get one. Sounds good, sounds good. Then I think this weekend was a good weekend for both of us. Talking about Atletico won 2-4 against Cadiz. What were your thoughts?
Right, so Elche game, sort of controversy. Obviously, Atletico Coque did handball the ball inside the box. I searched it up, and if a player, this isn't the actual refs thing, it's confirmed by like officials and UEFA and everything, but a player is using their arm or hand to keep them, to hold themselves up, and the ball hits them in the hand inside the box, it's not a penalty because he was just trying to like keep balance. And that's what Coque did when he went in for the tackle. And then obviously the players from Cadiz were outraged, because it was a clear penalty, in my opinion, until I saw it after. But apart from that, very interesting, very fun game to watch. Luis Suarez with a great free kick. Like, it was incredible, 26 meters out. I saw he stayed some time practicing after training. He told Simeone. Simeone told him, take the free kick. He scored. He also scored a penalty very calmly, unlike Haaland. Álvaro Negredo used to play for La Roja. Actually, no, the man scored one goal. First goal was very good. Second goal, defensive errors. But when it was 3-2, because Saul scored a jammy goal in the 44th minute. Sapanich, the player that just got loaned up from Atletico to Cadiz, came on. It's 3-2. Inside the box, headers it to draw the game. Anoblak with an incredible save, but honestly, Atletico has suffered about 10, 12 minutes. And then in the 88th minute, Coque, the captain, coming through and a ceiling win just now made Atletico top of the league, 10 points. So as top goal scorer. Oblak most clean sheets. Correa drawn with most assists in the league. And Felipe stepped on a pigeon in that game.
Yeah, my opinion was that you could argue for the Coque, because I watched the highlights this morning. You could argue that, I don't know if it was... No, it wasn't really a tackle, was it? I don't know what he was doing, but there are two sides of the story. If you haven't watched it, go watch it yourself. But I don't think it was a penalty. I think it would be very harsh, because obviously if you look at how, where you're supposed to leave your hand, like, it's impossible. You're not going to land on your shoulder, are you, after going in for a slide tackle? But I was actually very impressed by Negredo. Obviously, he scored twice, almost scored a beauty. I think he spun and almost scored, but Oblak was in form, even though he conceded twice, which doesn't happen often. I think it was the first goal.
Defensive errors, though.
Yeah, I think both of them were defensive errors. But again, just very clinical from Negredo. At the age of 36 now, he's aging as well. And I think Suarez played very well. I think Correa is also very underrated. Obviously, like you said, very joined assist. And he made that goal for Coque. And I actually, like, you thought it was a jammy goal from Saul, but I thought it was magical. Just the way he flicked over the keeper. It was very
good. You didn't mean to flick it like that, though. It was kind of jammy.
It was good, isn't it?
I'll take it. I'm not going to complain, but, you know, you got to keep it neutral.
I think it was a good goal. I think Atletico played well, even though at some stages, like when you conceded, I think the Negredo first goal was just like so slow. It bounced into the goal eventually. Very unfortunate for Oblak not to save that. Even got a hand to it. But yeah, like I said, unfortunate not to save it. And then moving on from that game... it was the big game.
Another
the
Liga game. We'll talk about the Liga.
Okay.
Before we talk about Eredivisie, I think we'll do the Liga. I want to mention a few Prem games. Then I'll just quickly correct. Actually, I'll correct my error now. I said that the Ligue 1, I said that Olympique Lyonnais was first. It's actually Lille who's first now by 2 points, because they beat Dijon Football Club. certain other first, but before we go to the Eredivisie, because I know you want to talk about that, and we need to talk about that because it was a big weekend in the Eredivisie. Barcelona, Athletic game, Athletic club. I watched a game. It was a weird game. Messi, again, with a great free kick. Jordi Alba, great on goal. And then Griezmann scoring a tap-in. But it was a good tap-in, to be fair. Yeah, so I really have to say, that's a club could have finished there at the end. They had a few chances. I guess Barca got lucky. You could debate. Well, fair enough to Barca. Came back after losing the Supercopa final against Athletic and got their revenge. Now some Prem games. I mentioned the Brighton-Spurs game, 1-0. Already mentioned that. Liverpool won again. Back to scoring ways. Wijnaldum, the ex-final player, scored.
Mm-hmm.
Which we love to see. And the Chelsea manager, do you want to say his name again?
Thomas Tuchel.
He got his first win with Chelsea against Burnley with the two Spaniards scoring, Azpilicueta and Marcos Alonso. Two very decent goals. And big surprise, Leeds-Leicester. Leeds beat Leicester 3-1 after Harvey Barnes. How was Harvey Barnes? Scored in the 13th minute. And Leeds just pulled the back, so fair enough. That's all the games I really had to cover.
All right. Just want to...
Backford scoring again. Yeah.
Just want to come back on that Barcelona game. I think it was a beautiful free kick. I mean, it was just top bins. What you expect from Messi, obviously. Before the game, and you know, there was this contract leaked for $555 million in 4 years. And to just show up and kind of shut down everyone who was doubting if he's worth that money. Respect, because if he didn't score, the amount of hate or, you know, the amount of confusion or whatever you want to call it would have increased. So yeah, fair play to Barcelona to win that game. Which,
do you want to quickly talk about that Messi scandal?
Yeah, I think whoever it was, I think it was only 8 people know about the contract. Mm-hmm. Which is Messi, and then I think if I had to be realistic, I think is Bartomeu who's leaked it, because yeah, obviously didn't really have a good relationship with Messi, and obviously isn't at Barcelona anymore, I think he wants to, I think he wants Barcelona to fail in the next few years, because of his departure, maybe a bit of a sore loser. I don't know. Just speculation. But doesn't look good.
It is a lot of money. Like, it's incredible money. Maybe, could debate, he doesn't serve that much. But you have to compare how much he inputs to the club in terms of money, fans and everything. Because he might get paid a lot, but how much money does he actually make for the club? Because if he makes more money for the club, then obviously it's worth. I just think it just shows the fact that it got leaked, how Barcelona are really run out, like the state they're in right now. It's just never real trust, and it's just backstabbing all the time.
Yeah.
Which obviously isn't good.
I mean, if you look at Messi's output, I mean, you know, you can debate all you want, but I think in the NBA, there were contracts which are ridiculous. I'm pretty sure like last year, 2020, there was this Greek guy who's now the highest paid NBA player who I've never heard before in my life before, with like $142 million a year. So, you know, and Messi has been the best player with Cristiano Ronaldo in the last decade, right? There's no one comes close to the output Messi and Ronaldo have put up. And football generates a lot of money, right? And Messi knows he's the best. So to keep Messi, you've got to pay, right? And wouldn't be a difference if he played for City. Yeah, and it wouldn't be a difference if he played for PSG or Manchester City or Manchester United. He would be paid exactly the same amount. I think, though, however, in 2017, Messi got given, I think it was 80 million loyalty bonus without even asking for it. So again, you could look at that and think, well, don't know. He didn't ask for it, so why are you giving it to him?
Because Barcelona is in a really bad financial state right now. Same as Real Madrid.
Yeah, then like debt of 1.1 billion. So yeah, but again, like I think Messi generates like every single thing for just the shirts with Messi on the back is like 90% of Barca shirts have Messi on the back. So yeah, again, very interesting. You want to elaborate?
I mean, Messi, very good. I mean, like, football is just becoming a money game now, realistically. Like, a lot of people are just, a lot of players are just going to places for the money. Some because they need it to like, send it back to their families. Some because they just want the money. And it's kind of killing the passion at times. Just kind of sad. But, I mean, it is what it is. Football is a business now. I'd also like to mention Mkhitaryan. Again, getting a goal contribution to spit of Serie A, I didn't mention before. Roma beat Hellas Verona 3-1 with a Mkhitaryan goal again. He's playing very well. And ex-Madrid player Borja Mayoral also getting a goal. He scored 3 goals in 10 minutes, which is interesting, from the 20th to the 30th minute. And then Napoli beat Parma Calcio 2-0. Just a solid win. What do you expect? And, you know, the Serie A table is becoming actually very competitive at this point. If I just get the table up and see that, if I'm not wrong, Inter Milan's still first. Milan's still first. 2 points behind Inter. And 4 points behind Inter is Roma. But if Napoli and Juve win, because they have one game in hand, they'll overpass Roma. And I can just really say from 7th to 1st, there's only 10 points different. But from 7th to 3rd, there's 4 points different, so there can be a lot of movement there. And obviously some teams will be left out of European football, which no one really wants, but just what good about the Serie A. I think it's one of the best leagues in the world because of how competitive it is.
Yeah, and especially this year. I mean, normally you would have Juventus dominate, but Juventus are going through a project with Pirlo. And you can see that certain teams are taking advantage of it. I don't think anyone would have expected AC Milan to do so well this season. I think the front runners at the start of the season would have been Juventus and Inter at the top, but I think as Roma, credits to them being up there. Again, I mean, just outstanding from Ciro Immobile, 13 goals this season. And like you said, Mkhitaryan with the most assists, and he's been very, very vital to this AS Roma side.
Want to talk about the Feyenoord and the Ajax games?
Yeah, I think overall, it was a very good month for Ajax. Ajax won two of the three big games, beat Feyenoord, luckily, I must say. Beat AZ 3-0 yesterday and drew to PSV 2-2. But again, at the start of the month, it was very close. And now they're 7 points clear of PSV. And I think, 12 points clear of number four Feyenoord. So, again, a very good month for Ajax. And I think the focus now for Feyenoord is that number two spot, which they're not very, they're close to. I think PSV, the game itself, Feyenoord PSV, was an exciting game. Again, got the score correct, 3-1. But Feyenoord just showed PSV and showed the world how to counter. They countered so well. They had 33% possession overall, I'm pretty sure. And they just countered PSV to bits. 3 goals from 3 counters, I think. Geertruida was very good. The right back sent Mauro Junior to the shops with his skills, and then assisted Demers with the first goal, and then the second goal.
But you didn't like Demers, so
I don't. But
he's been scoring goals.
Yeah, he has been since I've been criticizing him. You know, but sometimes on the midfield he just turns around way too much. It's just like just either pass the ball or just go forward. Don't dribble around, you know, yourself every single time. It's irrelevant. You're not surprising anyone by doing that. But and then it was a Berghuis with the second goal, which was very good. Overall, just a very Robin-like goal. Cuts inside, hits the post, and goes in from outside the area. And you could really see what that meant to him, because he hadn't scored in so long from like open play. And then Linse with the goal from that was like the definition of counter-attack. And that was,
it's a good finish.
It was a good chip, and Tornstra with the assist there as well. So overall, I think PSV were a bit meh. I think if you look at some of PSV's players, they're not very good. Obviously, they don't have Götze at the moment, which some people seem to forget. But Ryan Thomas just isn't up to the standards of PSV. Mauro Junior isn't really up to the standards. And I think Rosario and Sangare are just two defensive midfielders. So they lacked creativity to deliver the balls to Zahavi and Marlon. I think Marshman made some good saves as well this game. So overall, a really good performance from Feyenoord after three defeats on the trot. So yeah, couldn't be more pleased with that one.
You actually got that prediction completely right as well. That's why we're going to start the prediction table from this week. We're not counting this week because if not, it would just be unfair for me.
And I'll be running away like a Letica.
Exactly. Well, I'll be taking else like not Feyenoord, Real Madrid, but you got the 3-1 win correct, which was actually impressive.
Yeah. I mean, it was because of you. Credits to you, because I think I said that PSV were going to win, and they were like, you got to be optimistic. And I just went, all right, there's going to be 3-1 like last season, which turned out to be 3-1. So, you know, good stuff. And then
I think that's all. I think that's all the games for this week.
From last week. And then moving on to this week.
This week, yes.
We have Inter versus Juventus tomorrow when this goes out. Big, big game. Again, Coppa
Italia. When this goes out, it's on the day.
Yeah, so let's see. What do you think? What do you think is going to happen in your score prediction?
You know, I'm feeling a Juve win. I think Juventus is going to win because I think Pirlo is going to come up with a new tactic to be, obviously, the very attackingly strong Inter. And I think Juventus is going to win 2-0. I think they're going to pull it back and make the title race. It is Serie A, I'm pretty sure.
Mm-hmm.
A bit more interesting.
I mean, no, it's Coppa Italia. Semi-final.
Coppa Italia?
Yeah, semi-final.
Coppa Italia.
Yeah.
I think Juve is still going to win.
Cup drama. I mean, Inter did beat AC Milan, but the winner will face Napoli Atalanta, which we'll talk about after this. But I think it's going to be a very interesting game. I think Cristiano Ronaldo is going to turn up, and I feel like Juventus might edge this one. I'm going to say
that Morata's going to score.
I don't. I mean, if he does,
Morata's going to score. What are you saying, then?
I'm saying I have no confidence, but I'm going to say 2-0. Oh, you said that. I'm not saying 2-0.
I said
2-0. 2-1, 2-1, I think. They will score.
2-1.
And then
interesting.
Kieran, who isn't actually here, left the voice note about his thoughts on the Chelsea-Tottenham, which is obviously his Chelsea versus Tottenham Hotspur, and the prediction for the Inter game, which I'll play right now.
For the Inter-Juventus game, I think Inter will have the win, even though Juventus just come off a 2-0 win. I think Inter will have it. I think it will probably be maybe a high-scoring game, 3-2, 2-1 to Inter Milan. And the Atalanta-Napoli game, I could see a lot of goals there, but I think Atalanta, I believe they just lost, so I think Napoli will have the win. 2-1 to Napoli.
So big predictions from, I mean, Kieran said big scoring game for the Inter game and then went on to say 2-1. So, I mean, three goals is plenty.
Three goals is decent.
And then especially if it's like, 1-0 and then dying seconds, whatever, 2-1 victory. And then he went on to say that Napoli will win 2-1 against Atalanta. What was your thoughts on the Napoli-Atalanta semi-final?
You know, I won't say I'm a big Napoli fan, but I like Napoli. I support them in Italy. That's what I'm going to say. Napoli is going to win it. And that's why the final is going to be, yet again, Juve-Napoli for the third time this year. Not this year, but in the past finals.
Yeah. I'm going to...
So the Super Cup. So I'm going to say, before you say, I'm going to put my prediction. I'm going to say it's going to be a... I'm thinking it's between 2-1 and 3-0 for Napoli. I'm going to say, because Kieran obviously predicted 2-1, I'm going to say 2-0 Napoli, actually. Yeah.
Well, I mean, we've had a bit of controversy. I think so Kieran said Inter to win, and then we both said Juve to win. So I'm going to say Atalanta to win, because they are a goal-scoring team. And I'm actually going to say 2-0 Atalanta. So
2-0 Atalanta. Interesting.
So Atalanta-Juve in the final then? Or, yeah. According to Kieran,
Atalanta-Inter.
It will be Inter-Napoli. Moving on to the Chelsea-Tottenham game. I think that is the game. All good games, to be fair. It's going to be a very interesting game. I'm going to have to go for... Chelsea to win, because I think Tottenham Hotspurs haven't been good this season, or have been at the start, but have dropped. And Harry Kane is obviously out for them as well, so it doesn't look good for the Lily Whites.
We'll have to see how Chelsea set up though.
But I think
Tottenham are going to come back off a loss, and they're going to be hungry for a win.
I'm going to have to say Chelsea to win. Two nil. What about you?
Interesting. I was going to say 2-1 Chelsea, but I think they're not going to score that many goals. I'm just going to say it's a plain old 1-0 Chelsea win. I reckon Werner's going to win it.
Really? Werner? Yeah. To steal
it's
the show.
Going to come through.
And then obviously Kieran, who is obviously due to time difference asleep right now, has left us a voice note for this game. Obviously, it's his Chelsea against arch rivals, London rivals, Spurs.
Yopi, you want my Chelsea against Tottenham prediction? I think Chelsea's going to beat Tottenham. They're without Harry Kane. We've just come off a big 2-0 win against Burnley. So I think it should be a great game, but I think Chelsea's got it in the locker. I reckon 2-0 or 2-1 win for the Blues. Come on, you Blues.
Very 2-1 then. Different scores.
But I mean, if you look at it, Tottenham, according to us, has no chance. So
yeah,
I think Chelsea have got this one. I just don't.
Even though it's a new manager, they've been playing well.
Yeah, and I don't think Jose has been doing that well recently. Obviously, like Kieran said, Harry Kane is out, so who's going to score the goals? Maybe Son. Maybe that's why he said 2-1, but I think that Chelsea will...
Maybe from a corner.
And it's going to be a very interesting game as well, because it's obviously Tuchel's first game in charge of a big game, because obviously Wolves and Burnley are games you have to play. They're not the biggest game. So, yeah, it'll be a very interesting game. And then... Saturday, 6:00.
Another Juve game.
Roma.
Juventus, Roma.
Yeah, Roma playing at home. What do you think? What's your prediction on this one?
I reckon Juve score in the locker. Once I just want Roma to win, I'm going to go for a different approach. And I'm going to say that Juventus is going to win it. I'm stuck between 2-0 and 1-0.
We've had a lot of 2-0s predicted. 2-1s and 1-0s.
I mean, that's how football works. I'm saying 1-0 to you, eh?
So, okay, nah, that's fair enough. I think there's been plenty of games which have been, on paper, good games, but, you know, haven't been great. So, yeah, it's a fair shout. I'm Roma fan. So, I'm going to have to go with a 3-1 win for Roma. I think Mkhitaryan, I think Roma.
Big win. Scoring a lot
of, yeah, big win. Big win, I think. Because this is obviously for Roma to stay ahead of Inter, from Juventus. So, yeah, I'm definitely saying Roma to win. I think the Real Madrid loanee is doing very well. There is a transfer rumour going about Sanchez and Dzeko swapping. I think that'd be kind of interesting because Dzeko...
Today is deadline day, though.
Yeah, we'll bring out a deadline day, well, not deadline day, but a transfer special this Friday. So stay tuned for that. But I'm going to have to say 3-1 Roma. And I think Mkhitaryan is going to shine again. And then Manchester City versus Liverpool, another big game.
We did not have Kieran's thoughts for these last two games. Really like to point that out.
Yeah.
Well, keep us open, Sergio. Manchester City, Liverpool. City's going to win it. I'll just keep it as that. That's a start. I don't think Liverpool have it right now, especially such an attacking such a strong attacking Manchester City team against a such defensively weak Liverpool team without Big Verge at the back. I'm just going to say it's a 3-1 win Man City. I don't know, is De Bruyne back for that game or is he still injured?
Who?
Bruyne. KDB.
I think he's still injured. But Mane is also injured for Liverpool. So it's going to be interesting. I think Liverpool played very well. We didn't cover Liverpool, but Liverpool played very well against West Ham. Salah with a beauty of a goal. The second one, I think it was, where he touched it down with his right foot and then finished it with his left or the other way around. It was just beautiful to watch.
Actually, speaking of Manchester United and West Ham...
We all covered
this in the transfer special. Jesse Lingard, he's gone to West Ham.
Yes, but where did you get Manchester United and West Ham from? It was Manchester City, you schmuck.
Well, yeah. You know, a different breed. That's what different I can really breed. Say.
Different gravy. Yeah. But I'm going to have to say 2-0. I think
2-0.
I thought
we were both going for high scoring games. But 1-0 seems more realistic. Oh no, keep it as you want.
No, I was just gonna say that Roma Juve. I said 3-1, but I'm not looking this in, but I'm also thinking 2-0 could be on the cards. I think a draw could be on the cards as well. I think that's it for today. Just a massive thank you for everyone listening. We hit 20 streams on the special as well. Still going. Means a lot to us. Go make sure. We've got a little bit of news. We're going to get a new intro, if possible, in the upcoming weeks as well. Jakob is working on that. So SO to Jakob. Make sure you go and listen to his beats as well. If you're a bit of a rapper, you like to spit bars, etc. He's got pretty good... Beats. In my
if you want to study or just vibe to, they're very decent as well. Just a little, they're just head nod beats if you want to, even like that.
Yeah, so make sure you check out his socials. What are they, Sergio?
On the YouTube is JMXS Beats, and then if you want to find us on Instagram, we'll just on our Instagram we'll probably find one of our followers and following. I'm not exactly sure what the hold up, I'll quickly get up. If you do want to check him out on Instagram, his at is hold on, Jakob JAKOB S chill, just CHILOR. Make sure you do check him out, very talented guy,
yeah, and again, just a massive thank you from us. We are just, you know, trying our best, doing what we love. And then I think that was it. I think I had something to say, but follow the socials, Offside Football Podcast. Drop us a follow. Keep up to date with all the transfer rumors, with all the ins and outs of football, if you're interested.
We are very active on the socials. And if you want us to talk about anything in football or just in general, do make sure to contact us and we'll just talk about it. And maybe we can give you a shout out.
Yeah, and also, I mean, we're predicting from the mics and from the call, but, you know, we posted a Super Sunday post. So leave your comments or bits and bobs, your predictions down in the comments section below as well. So we can give you a shout out for getting it correct as well. So maybe we can even do a, offside, us three, me, you and Kieran versus the listeners. So, you know, if that's possible, we'll check that out. But yeah, like I said, keep streaming, keep loving it, keep sharing as well. And yeah, we will see you in a bit.